Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on up in the stars above. Well, here we are on another day with beautiful sunshine here in the Pacific Northwest. Hopefully everybody else is experiencing some decent sort of weather. It has been kind of chilly here, but we're still gaining sunlight and the days are getting longer, and that makes me very happy for the moment. It's the little things, right? It's the little things that we have to look for right now that make us happy. And for me, it's the sunshine and a little bit longer days. So there we have that. So today, I see Sadie looking over my shoulder here. Say good morning, Sadie. She doesn't care. She's just Sadie. This morning, we have a lot to talk about, some things that are going on that we want to maybe take a deeper dive into. We're going to talk about what the moon in Capricorn is bringing to us today, and a new keyword that occurred to me this morning as I was writing all of this out. We also have the sun square Pluto today that we're going to be talking about. This is one of the aspects, along with all the aspects the moon is making today, that has caused me to name the show Stirring Up the Atmosphere. And you'll maybe have noticed this morning I used the picture of a tornado as my thumbprint or thumbnail picture, because it speaks to this perfectly, right? Things are all in a whirl. And we also have our Pleiadian Earth energy to talk about today. As well, I want to clear up a couple things about the upcoming retrograde of Venus. I had a question come in yesterday from one of our morning listeners about what that means for her. And so I want to just go back over some dates with that. Okay, so first off, I'm going to open up Facebook. I totally forgot to do that here so that I could see all of your bright, shiny faces that are tuned in this morning. So let me get that up here for a moment. And then I can say a quick good morning to Elisa and to Mimi and to Amy and everybody else who's out there that I don't see yet. And yes, loving those longer days. Isn't it amazing? You know, because I live further north, likely than when I grew up. I grew up in Southern California. So here I am up in Northwest Washington. And by the time we get to summer, the days are really long, where it's not even getting dark until 10:30, something like that at night. And which means our 4th of July fireworks are always late, etc. But you go, wow, those long days turn into those very short days in winter. And so we just have to love every minute of these beautiful days that we have now. Okay, so Monique Alexander, good morning to you as well. I'm going to switch back over here to Zoom now and begin talking about what the moon is bringing to us today. And that key word that I told you I kind of tuned into very deeply today. One of the major aspects of anything to do with Capricorn is about maturity. Anything that has to do with Saturn is about maturity. And it made me recall what got me onto that word this morning was I was thinking about the Mayan calendar and how back in 2011 and 2012, I was talking a lot about the Mayan calendar. In fact, I actually went on a tour around the country talking to people about it because I didn't want people really believing that garbage about the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. But there were some very significant changes that were coming about out of the ending of that calendar. In fact, it really didn't end, just one of the cycles of time came to an end, but there are bigger cycles of time that are still running, so obviously we're still here on this planet, right? So when we got to the end of the Mayan calendar, it was as if all of the puppet strings had been cut. So at some point through our evolution, it was being directed by an unseen hand, perhaps the hand of God or source energy or some divine plan that was playing out. And we had relatively little impact in that. We were impacted by it, but we weren't the ones that had the responsibility for any of that. Once we got to the end of that calendar, which actually, according to Kalman and others, was actually on October 28th of 2011, not the December 21st, 2012, We got to a point where we didn't have that overlying hand of fate on us anymore, that we became conscious co-creators, or that was the hope, that we would become conscious co-creators in this reality and in the movement of evolution as it unfolds. So there are certain key things that are unfolding that were put into play before the end of the calendar. And now it's up to us to become mature, responsible co-creators. And I liken this frequently to the idea of children as they are growing up. They turn 18 and they're now suddenly adults, right? With they're considered responsible. They're considered to be mature. Maybe not mature, let's not use that word yet, but they're definitely responsible for their own actions. And what happens frequently for kids who suddenly have this freedom dropped in their lap is they run amok, right? They run amok, they do crazy things, they go to college, they get drunk, they get, you know, wasted, they party, they do all the things, right, that they know they shouldn't do or that they weren't allowed to do when they were living at home with mom and dad, and they go a little bit crazy. So for all of us, we're kind of at that point, or we have been at that point since 2011, when this calendar counted down, where those strings were cut and we just sort of ran amok. And not necessarily with any hand or divine guidance. Well, divine guidance never left us, but there wasn't any seeming plan after that. So everything has just been going a little bit, you know, stupid crazy. And here we are now with these energies coming home to roost, stirring up this atmosphere, you know, these big titanic transits of planets that are causing tremendous change and tremendous upset in the world. And it's forcing us into this maturity, right? Where we now have to be consciously choosing and consciously co-creating the reality that we're in, rather than the expectation that it's all just happening without any of our input, right? That was so last century. In this century, that was even so last decade. But in this decade now, it's become very clear, and it should be dawning on all of you, that we've created a mess, and it's our opportunity to clean up that mess. So that fast forward to a day like today, and that is exactly what we're seeing in the astrological signature of the day, is that need to become mature, responsible citizens, co-creating the reality here on planet Earth. So let's look at what the moon's part in that is today. So the moon today is making several different aspects. One to Neptune, it's a sextile 60 degree angle. It means it's working nicely with the moon, right? Moon and Neptune are famous for bringing us good feelings, for bringing us intuitive knowing, for connecting us heart to heart or soul to soul. And when they are in a good relationship, then we don't get so much of the delusion and the illusion as we get to clarity and intuition and unconditional love. So we have that as the backdrop. That was our first aspect this morning. Later, we end up with the moon in a conjunction to Pluto. Now, we should be sort of familiar with this. It's been happening every month for a long time, forever. The moon comes into a conjunction with Pluto, and powerful emotions store within us. And it can be this cosmic, you know, whirlwind. It can be very good feeling for some people. It can be very empowering, but it's the power of the emotions that we're dealing with when the moon comes into contact with Pluto. We are also in the square aspect to the sun today with the moon, and that's our crisis of consciousness. We talked a bit about that yesterday. But every month, the moon goes through the quarters, right? We have the first quarter, we have the new moon, we have the first quarter, we have the full moon, then we have the second quarter, and then we have the new moon again. So the moon shows us a different phase every day. But as we're moving through those phases, we come to these key marking places or markers where it is time for us to take responsibility for what we're manifesting. And with the crisis of consciousness, we're now at the second square or the second quarter. where we are from 1 week from today, we'll be talking about the new moon, right? We'll be back at the new moon. So this is our crisis of consciousness, where we have to address whatever it is in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our old patterns that is stopping us from really manifesting what it was that we set out to do with the new moon. So the crisis of consciousness is like, okay, that kick up the spiral, right? It's that you're coming to the end of that spiral, and are you going to make the leap, or are you going to stay back where you've been? So that's where we are today with the moon's relationship to the sun. Now, we also have a conjunction of the moon to Jupiter today. And for those of you who have been following me for a while, you know that's often a recipe for overdoing it, over imbibing, overeating, over playing, overworking, whatever it is that you can put over in front of. It is all often about the overindulgences, the places where we just don't recognize proportionality. So today we'll have to make a little bit of a concerted effort not to overdo, right? Not to go too far. And in any shape, I mean, even good things, too much of a good thing is usually not a good thing. So we have to watch for that as well. So that's what our moon is doing today. We are also going into a void of course moon this afternoon, 4:48 p.m. West Coast time. So that'll be this evening for you all on the East Coast, 7:48 p.m. And that lasts until just after midnight, midnight 38 for us on the West Coast. And that would be about, 3:38 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So tomorrow when we get up, we'll have a moon in the sign of Aquarius. We'll be done with our Capricorn maturity lessons. Or will we? I'm not sure that we are going to be done with these things anytime soon, but we're getting there, right? We're maturing. We're discovering the mistakes that we're making. We're discovering the mismatch in our thinking and what we're creating. And that is a good thing over time, right? That is how we mature. We experience the world and we mature because of the experiences that we've had. It can't all just be book learning, right? We can't just go through the books, do the quizzes and the tests and be okay. We have to demonstrate out in the world. So as much as we're learning about the nature of things and what's happening, we have to go out into the real world and apply those lessons, right? So that's why we do this every day, so that we can learn and we can apply. And then we can learn some more and we can apply some more. Okay, let's do a quick check back over here in Facebook. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Kathy Miller. She says, I'm finally up before 9 a.m. Love you all. We love you too, Kathy. Debbie Hedden, good morning to you. Great to see everybody up. It's hard not to get up this time of the year, isn't it? I mean, it's not like it's dark. In fact, what inspired me to wear these colors today is I woke up this morning. Blinds open just about a quarter, maybe, well, I guess that's about an inch last night, and to let in some fresh air. And when I woke up this morning, there was this golden orangey light coming in at the bottom. It forced me out of bed to go look and see what the heck was going on out there, that it was so beautiful. And it was just clouds with the rising sun. So it makes for great sunrises and great sunsets too, this time of year. So get out and look. Oh, and the other thing is I got up about four, I guess it was this morning. I think it was between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. And I turned the corner to look out the window, I saw the moon and I was like, oh yeah, this is the night of the 13th through the 14th. So there should be some beautiful things to see. So here was the rising moon. It was kind of that orangey golden color. Behind it was Saturn and Mars. And out in front of it was, I think, Jupiter. And it made this sort of tail through the sky. And it was so amazing. I wish sometimes I had a camera that could take those pictures. I should have pulled it up. I might try that later and see if they're still in alignment like that. Pulled it up on my Star app and show you that, because it was stunning. And I just wanted to just gaze out at the stars the rest of the night, but I needed my sleep. So anyway, if you ever get a chance to in the early morning, get out there and look to my southeast and look at what's going on in the sky. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts, to me all. Great to see you too this morning. Okay, now let's switch over to talk about the sun in its square to Pluto today. Today, the sun squares Pluto. Tomorrow, it squares Jupiter. So I think we'll save the sun squaring Jupiter until tomorrow. It's happening tomorrow. And we'll talk about this sun square Pluto. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute and think about these two coming together in a square. So it's a challenge. It's like getting ready to have a duel or a fight or a conflict. The sun is the full force of the power in this solar system. So the sun in its strength and its wisdom and its might meeting up with the planet. Well, first of all, sun, again, ruler of the day, right? Ruler of the day coming up against Pluto, the ruler of the underworld or the night or the dark. The dark void, right? The you might say the sun, ruler of heaven, and the Pluto, the ruler of hell or Hades. He's called Hades in some Roman, I think it is, mythology. So we have some really interesting titanic things that we could think about: the struggle between the light and the dark. Right? There's that motif right there. And a struggle because a square is a 90-degree relationship between those planets. And it offers up obstacles and challenges and things that we have to get around or go over, stopping points, right? Things that get in our way. And so here, what we have in our way is this light versus the dark. And how is it that we are working through this energy of power? So what we have is power, raw power of the light and the raw power of the dark. And this is pressure on all of us, right? The pressure that we're feeling with everything that's happening in the world, everything that might be happening in your own personal life. So the power is the pressure that we're feeling right now is not only coming from outside of us in that outer world, but it's also coming up from within us. And it may be coming up in fear. It may be coming up in worry. It may be coming up as anxiety. And it may just be that pressure, you know, that we feel from within. So this is a day of testing. It was kind of funny yesterday because I was watching, it was a news story that came across about the governors of the states of California, Washington, and Oregon forming together to decide when it would be appropriate to move outward into the world again. And then the governors of New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, I think New Jersey might have been in on that. And they were forming a group that would also, based on scientific evidence and not politics, but scientific evidence, when it is that they would do the same thing. And that all reminded me of the sun, right? The sun energy. And then there was the president of the United States who says, I'm the president. I'm the power. I will be the one that tells you when. And that struggle right there embodies what's happening with the sun square Pluto. It's kind of funny. If you sit back and you just look at the outer world, you see these characters out there that are playing the roles of these planets, as above, so below. So that's an interesting thing to watch out for. And what we are being tested to do is to let go of old patterns and old alliances and old behaviors that are no longer serving us, right? And if they're no longer serving us, why are we holding on to them? Whether it's a belief, whether it's a pattern, whether it's just a tradition, the way things have always been done, or whatever it is, why are we holding on to it? And the very act of letting go frees us up, right? It frees up space for the new. It's like on your computer, right? Sometimes you have to do the Google tool that clears out the memory, the cached images, and all of the you know, different histories that of sites you've been at, what have you. I have to do that every couple of days. Otherwise, my broadcast won't work in the morning, right? It's that freeing up of space to move forward, to do something else, right? So we're being kind of tasked, stirred up within us is this need to be able to let go, to make more space for the new. Now, what we could see here is this authority, maybe authority figures becoming bombastic and demanding. And, you know, our president here is really a good model for some of those real off the scale, off the chart sort of behaviors. And at the other end are the behaviors of those calmer voices, the voices that are pulling us in a different direction. So we have, you know, these two things, titanic struggles going on. And it can also be where we're seeing where the abuse of power has become very prevalent in governments, but also in communities or in groups or, you know, in the different layers of authority that we have out there in the world, where things are not functioning well. You may see them breaking down today. And that may be personal, but it also out in the outer world, the breakdown of communication, the breakdown of technology, the breakdown of our healthcare system, the breakdown of our political system, and on, the breakdown of our financial system, right? All of these big things are not functioning well because we haven't dealt with the crisis issues that they've exposed to us. So the breakdown gives us an opportunity to fix things up. Right, to reestablish, to rebuild, to reconstruct. You sense that theme that's been going on and on over the last several months, at least through about April, May of 2019. So darn near, that's a year now, right? So we've had this opportunity of breakdown to bring us into a new solutions and new ways of dealing with our own challenges. Now, whatever it is that you're being challenged with in your own life right now through this Sun square Pluto or any other challenge, because also these are happening in your own charts, right? This is happening somewhere in your chart. And that can be a source of strength for you in the future as you overcome these challenges, as you see that things aren't really as bad as you thought they were. Right, that you see that there's this breakdown in the economy, this major bugaboo virus going around, but all is well for you, you gain strength, right? You gain inner power. And that's not to say that anybody out there who's come down with the virus or who has had, you know, the emotional reaction to things that are going on are wrong or bad you. It's not that at all. It's that those are human ways that we deal with these struggles and with these challenges. And how it is that we find that we have the strength to tap into, right? So we're finding that strength that is going to carry us into the future. And the Sun squaring Pluto shows us that. Okay, questions, comments, heading back to Facebook here real quickly. Debbie, the comment was totally taking out of context. I don't know what you're talking about, Deb. Then we have... he was hoping not to do that. I don't know what you're talking about, Deb. So maybe you can clarify that for us. So as we move forward here today, we move from the square to Pluto, where we have the light and the dark, or the heaven and hell, or Hades and earth, however you want to play with that. Tomorrow we go to the Sun squaring Jupiter. So we have a completely different feel with tomorrow's energy. It's almost like there's a bridge being built from the chaos over to the clarity of a future that we need to look at. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. Okay, now yesterday I got a question from Ilaria. So Ilaria, I hope you're listening out there this morning, about Venus retrograde. And in this case, I'm going to bring up the chart because I want to make sure it's showing while we talk about this. And if you guys have your own charts right now, get them out, because this is going to be your time to see where these things are happening in your own chart. I'm going to make this just a titch bigger. There we go. So Venus moved into her retrograde place the 10th Friday, and that was at 5 degrees of Gemini. And she will move through her retrograde from 5 degrees. Well, she's the retrograde zone is 5 degrees to 21 degrees of Gemini. So when she reaches 21 Gemini, she will turn retrograde and move backwards to 5 degrees. There she'll turn direct and move forward again. So I wanted to show where that is in the chart again. Here is what the symbol of Gemini looks like. It looks like the Roman numeral 2. Right? So you got the two pillars with the crossbars over the top. And it could look a little different than this unless you're, well, if you've got your chart from me, it looks just like this. And here's Venus right now. Today, she's at 9 degrees. She's already moved 5 degrees, 4 degrees forward from her entry into the zone. Here's 5 degrees right here. And 21 degrees is about right here. So we see this span of Gemini, where she will be in her retrograde zone. Now, if this were a chart of a person, it would be occurring across the first house and the second house. So that would mean you would want to look at two areas of your life that are represented by the houses. The houses show us where the action is taking place. The planet tells us the what, and the sign tells us the how. So we have the how in Gemini, so it's going to have a focus on communication. It might be a focus on how we are dealing with the mind. The fact that it is Venus tells us we're dealing with relationships, we're dealing with money or finances or the economy. And because it's Venus, we're also dealing with values, value and values. And are we living in accordance with those values or not? Are we saying one thing and living another life, right? Or how are we working with our values? And this will happen again right through this part of your chart. So you find 5 degrees of Gemini, find 21 degrees of Gemini, and you will find the area of your chart. Let's see if I can do that annotating. I can. I'm not very good at that, but let's do it anyway. It's going to be from this part of your chart to about right here. So there we have that. How do I get rid of you? Well, I don't know. But anyway, I don't want to do the annotation anymore, so stop it. There. Okay. So, and then don't move the screen because the lines move. Oh my goodness. That's too funny. Okay. So I'm going to leave that right there. Now, let me give you some dates to be paying attention to. So April 10th was the day that she entered into the retrograde zone. May 13th, that'll be the next date to watch. And that is the date that she turns retrograde. She will be then at 21 degrees of Gemini that day, and she'll turn retrograde. June 25th, she will have moved all the way back here to the 5 degrees of Gemini, and she will turn direct, meaning she'll be going back forward again. And she will complete the journey beyond 21 degrees of Gemini by July 30th. So that will bring the close to her retrograde cycle. So her retrograde cycle then encompasses the entire period of time from April 10th until July 30th. It's a long period of time, right? So it bears watching what's happening out there in the world right now. It bears watching what's going on within you, what's happening in your relationships, what's happening in terms of your finances, or what are you learning about, what's happening in terms of your values and what you value, and your resources are also included in this. So resources like time and energy and money, and how are you using those or how aren't you using those? So we've got a lot of things to think about during this period of time. So again, now let's look at the houses. The houses are the where this will take place, and each house has a different meaning. So for example, the first house, I don't know if I can, let me see if I can get my eraser out and take that sign. Whoops, I stopped sharing. There we go. I'm going to go back to annotation because I think I have an eraser. Oh, it took it out anyway. Good. Okay, so now if we look at each of the houses, that each of the houses in your chart are going to have some planets in it, perhaps. Some of them may be empty. If you notice in this chart, they're empty, but they have a sign on the edge, right? And if you have an empty house with Gemini energy, with Venus moving through it, it's a more pure expression of that retrograde energy. So you may find whatever the issues are in that house. Let's say in this case, this open house here, let's just pretend. We're going to pretend this is Gemini right here. It's not, but let's pretend. And it's a fourth house. That means home and family and traditions. Well, this may be a time then for you of reevaluating all of those things that form the foundation of your life. Have you put down stable roots? Or did your roots get exposed as being frail and fragile and needing some shoring up, right? That's going to be the area of life that the Venus retrograde is going to cause you to look at. Now, in Ilaria's chart, she was talking about the 12th house. And if you look in this chart, you see how wide that 12th house is. This would be a call for me to use a different type of chart, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But if we looked at, let's just say Ilaria, this was your chart, and we're pretending again that this is Gemini energy here, you would see that you have a lot of planets that you're going to be filtering through the experience with during that period of time of the retrograde. And that the 12th house is the house of the hidden. It is the house where we are in living out subconscious patterns, either based in old thoughts or old thinking, or based on past lifetimes or experiences from our youth where we were really not very consciously aware of what was going on. And so it would be a real time for you to get clarity around ways in which you might be limiting yourself, ways in which you are sabotaging yourself, right? So that would be what that 12th house would mean. And of course, there's 10 other houses here that things could be in for everybody. So I don't really have the time to go through all 12 of those houses today, but wherever it is in your chart, look to what the meaning is of the house. And that's going to give you an idea of where in your life this will be playing out. I hope that helps. And let's see, I'm going to go back, see if people have questions about that, because it could be difficult. Amy, doesn't change the point in the slightest. I must have missed something here, guys. I'm sorry. But now, if you have questions about where Venus is going to be retrograding in your chart over the next several days, we can talk about that, because it doesn't, like I say, turn retrograde until May 13th. So we have time to really be looking at that in our charts. And we can even pull up people's charts and just take a peek at it and see where it's happening in your personal chart. Okay, now, no questions about any of that. I'll come back and check on that in a minute. I wanted to check one thing. Pause. May 13th. Where is Venus when she turns retrograde? When Venus turns retrograde, isn't that interesting? Wow. When she turns retrograde, she's actually going to be in a gate of money. Wow. I'm going to rethink this retrograde time. I'm going to bring that back up, because we looked at it through your astrology chart, but we haven't looked at it through the human design yet. And in human design that day, she is going to be in the gate 45, which is, it's an interesting gate in human design, because it's called the gate of the king or the queen. It is where there's this sort of feeling that money is yours to do with as you will. And it's the spender, right? There's often this need to spend money. And on the other end, the other gate is 21. It's the gate of control. And it is the gate where of like the bookkeeper, the person who sees, wait a minute, you can't just keep spending, because if you keep spending, you're going to go into a deficit. And if you go into a deficit, then you're going to be in trouble. So the bookkeeper tries to keep the brake on while the gate 45 is the gas, the spending. So interesting that we're looking at the maybe results of all of that spending or not spending, such as the case may be in each of our lives as well. So that's perfect. Okay, so let us go over to our Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Today is a really fascinating day in the Pleiadian Earth energy, because it's also showing us that sort of Gemini two faces, right? One is the gate 10, which can bring up some really difficult energies. Not the gate 10, the 10 day, the universal day, that could be difficult, right? It can bring out the worst of us. But then we've also got the illuminating energy today, which is the in Mayan calendar was Xuan, which was the monkey. So we've got the more humorous side with the more serious side today. So we're having to pay attention to both. So the 10, for those of you who aren't as familiar with the Pleiadian Earth energy, the astrology or the calendar, the 10 is the universal day, which means the energy, no matter where you are in this universe, no matter what life form you are aligned with this energy of 10, which is about physical manifestation. And so it asks the question, are we in the flow of this spiral of consciousness, or are we working against it? So if we are in the flow, then what we have been working toward starts to pay off in a big way, right? And starts to really bear fruit. But if we've been working against that flow, then what we find is more problems or difficulties or challenges and what have you. So, and it's likely going to be a combination of those things, right? Some things might be moving perfectly well, other things are not. It gives us an opportunity, it shows us how well we're doing in specific ways. And it gives us that opportunity then to correct what seems to be out of alignment. So you'll know that because things won't be going so smoothly there. So wherever that is in your life, or in your experience of the day, that's where you really want to put your attention to shore that up, right? Or to change that or fix that in some way. Now, this also is a number, the 10, shows us the state of humanity. And the state of humanity is confused, inconsistent, unbalanced, and disoriented. Those are the common things that we see out there as these big changes that are going on meet up against our refusal to move with the time, right? To change and move forward. So if we're seeing that, if you are a part of that or feeling that in your own life, then you're going against the flow, right? That's the call. That's the sign. That's what is that word? Cledon. That's the Cledon that is the thing showing you that you've moved in the wrong direction or you are faced in the wrong direction. So we get a chance to course correct today and to see where it is we might need to make some changes moving forward. Now, illuminating energy or the Xuan energy is really about curiosity and creativity. And it plays, right? This is a playing energy that brings laughter, that brings joy, that also helps us to heal what has been out of balance. So the illuminating energy really shines that spotlight in a place that allows us to awaken to our true nature, to our true reality. Now, the day with, think about monkeys, they're kind of playful and they're also a little bit mischievous. So there's a mischievous quality to the day as well. This day can bring a time of personal or political drama. We're probably going to see more of that in the outer world, but also in your personal life. But it offers us the opportunity to peer deeply into the illusion. What is it that we are creating as a collective? Because we're all involved with that. If you want to get down to the basic metaphysical precept here, it is that we are the creators of this reality. And we've been creating all along, albeit unconsciously, right? So unconsciously, we tap into fear, we tap into chaos, we tap into turbulence, and we create this field or shadow energy around the globe based on our collective unconsciousness. Right? We're unconsciously creating. Now, if we turn that corner and we become conscious creators, then the world that we see begins to shift in relationship to how our thoughts have shifted. That's so amazing to me that we could be the ones that have created the problem. And then we also hold the solution just by changing how it is that we're dealing with the world, right? How is it that we are embracing all of the experience and doing what we can to set it back up on its positive spiral of consciousness, right? So awakening to our true reality is the whole reason you're here, right? It's the soul. If you ask me what your life purpose is, I'm going to tell you it's here for you. It's for you to awaken to your true reality. It is for you to awaken to all the places in your life where you are out of balance with that, or you're out of alignment with that kind of thing. All of the problems that you have, every one of them, for me too, any problem that we have is where we are out of balance with the energy of the universe or the energy of creation, right? The smallest to the biggest. And it is then a call for you to start correcting that, to bring it back into alignment in some way. And we're learning along the way, right? Problems that dogged you when you were younger are probably not the same problems you have now. If they are, then that's a huge wake-up call, don't you think, right? There's a common denominator and it's you or it's me. And that common denominator is what we have to look at, right? We're the one in the seat of the creator. In Human Design, I can't remember who this came from either, darn it. One of the Human Design people that I've listened to or learned from over the course of my time with human design, calls those two columns, right? There's the two columns that you have. The black column of numbers is the soul purpose, right? The soul is in the driver's seat. And the life purpose, the red numbers, are the passenger. And it's like the passenger telling the soul is in the driver's seat, and the passenger keeps taking them on the wrong turns, right? There's sort of these turns that we make, or these changes that we make, that we end up at a dead end, or we end up going the wrong direction. And it's up to the soul driver, the driver, bring us back into alignment and put us back on the right path. So our lives are, our purpose of our life is to keep purposefully, consciously bringing ourselves back into that alignment. And when you think about it, it's pretty funny, right? If we were later to look at the movie of our life, we might just be dying laughing over all of the mistaken motivations, the things that we thought were true that weren't, the things that we didn't think were true that are, and all of that. So I expect that, you know, everybody's experience is different along these lines, but unique to all of us is the need to wake up and start living in your true reality. All right, guys, let's see. Mimi, LOL, I've been keeping my snark in my inner dialogue since yesterday. Careful to avoid typing in my outside voice. That's probably a good point. Especially, you know, today and tomorrow, both are going to be those kind of days where there's that sort of energy quietly, you know, stacking up behind the scene, that invisible triggers, right? That something that someone says, something that somebody looks at you wrong, and you go, oh my God. And, you know, the words come tumbling out. And of course, we don't want to do that. And, you know, even those people in our outer world that are presumably fumbling and stumbling are literally doing the best they can with whatever it is their level of consciousness is at. And if I can stay out of my personal judgment about what is going on, then I can see that very clearly, right? I can see that all of the people involved in the government, everybody, everywhere on the planet, they're doing the best they can with where they are in their own consciousness. And it's not up to me or to you, or there are no words to really cause those people to wake up, except when they're ready and in their own timing. And I just, next time I'm getting in a different line, I'm going to an evolved planet next time. Next life, because this can be very difficult, and it is, but we signed up to be here at this point in time, right? So we are evolving right alongside the people who are not necessarily wanting to do that yet. Maybe we're the way showers, right? We're the way showers. And that means we have to keep ours clean, our world clean, our energy fields clean, pure, and be able to hold space for those other people to awaken in their right timing, so that we can all enjoin together as a collective to bring this planet into maturity, right? That word again, maturity, bringing us into that maturity. Okay. That is it for me today. Somehow when I was writing this out this morning, I thought I had so much more to say. Let me take a quick look at the human design gates for the day, see if there's any major changes. Ah, well, here's one big change. Mercury moved into the gate 17 today, which is the gate of opinions. So Mimi, that snark that you're talking about, that those are opinions, right? Our opinions are best left to ourselves until we are able to be invited to speak them. And then in the next couple of days, let's see, the 17th, so Friday or Thursday, I don't know, I can't see my calendar because I have my umbrella light there. Yeah, Friday. Then Mercury will move into the gate of control. So Mercury is moving through some difficult territory this week as far as human design. These are gates that are considered red flag gates in human design, which means that we have to really watch it when a planet goes across that, or if you have it defined in your own chart, we have to really pay attention, because it can create some obstacles and some, you know, delicious upsets in your lives. With the 17 and Mercury rules communication, just hands down. Communication, the things we say to one another, our minds as well, what are we thinking about? And at the gate 17, it would be that how easy it would be to spout our opinions, not based in fact, right? No facts, just opinions. And those really don't need to be shared unless we have the opinion. It is also interesting because it is the beginning of the scientific method. It is the beginning, one of the beginning channels or gates in the logic circuit in your human design. So it is about setting up a hypothesis and then going out to prove it. Without that, it is without the proof, it is just an opinion, right? Or a hypothesis. And testing, right? Testing and morphing based on what we learn from the tests. Kind of sounds like what it is. Actually, you know, now that I look down, poor Mercury is also going to be going through the gate of shock in a few days. So craziness, right? Our minds are getting like whiplashed from one thing to another as we move through this particular week, through the rest of this month, actually. Yay. All right, guys, any questions, any comments? Anybody want me to look at their chart? Nobody, you guys are quiet today. Maybe you're all afraid of what you might say. Hopefully that's not the case. This is an open community. We can say whatever it is. And it's too funny. Comments that come in, we're trying, you know, we're trying to teach each other on this planet with everything, you know, in all ways, the dramas, the traumas, the joys, the challenges, all of that are teaching devices. And through those teaching devices, and including the politics and the everything on the planet, right? Everything. They're teaching us something, right? Teaching us something. If we can stay in that mode, what am I learning from this? What does this mean for me? Why am I having this kind of reaction to this? If we can do that, right? Then we actually learn from what we're experiencing instead of feeling horrible over it or judging one another or criticizing one another. Because we're all out here, again, in this boat that we call Mother Earth, learning at the same, based on these same experiences, right? There are common experiences here. They're different in how we personally respond to them or how they personally affect us, but they're common, right? We're all on this ship experiencing these things, these crises, these joys, these pleasures, these challenges, etc. So... exactly. Deb Johnson, perhaps a card for the collective. Well, Deb, tell me what deck we would like. Maybe we need a, goddess. Yesterday we drew a spirit animal and we got the hummingbird. And hummingbird was about being in the now, right? Be here now. And, that was really poignant yesterday because we were talking about time and how we have a tendency to look too far to the past or we look too far down the future. We're never in the now. So it was a call for us to be more in the now. So let's see what our goddess is. Deb, and if you had a different idea of a card to pull, then, oh, she says anyone will do. Good, 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 good. So let's do a collective goddess card. Let's see if we can't tame the beast a bit here and get some new expression of energy. This is wonderful. This is Gaia, Earth. Oh, I'm going to go back to Zoom for a sec to make sure I got the card in the viewer. There we go. Gaia. Look at all the beautiful things around her. Pregnancy, right? She's getting ready to give birth. And she's card number 16, which is a 7 that speaks to the spiritual energy. And doesn't she just look lovely? She's what I imagine spring to be like, right? All the flowers, spring and summer where the flowers are blooming. She looks like the embodiment almost of Demeter. And, but this is Gaia, Gaia. Let's see what she says. Okay. And she came out right side up. So in this deck, it is that she has an empowerment message versus an alignment message. So let's read the empowerment message here. Being grounded, slowing down, and remaining present in your body is the message that the Greek goddess Gaia has for you right now. Perhaps you've spent too much time in your head lately and have not taken as good care of yourself as you would have liked. Get into a rhythm. Make sure you get enough sleep. Commit to spending more time in nature and eat sustainably with conscious awareness. Gaia, the earth, mother of all life, invites you to pay attention to your body, for you are a creature of the earth as well as spirit. You are part of this living earth, which is the foundation for all of life that has a physical form. What form does your life take? This is the perfect time to take a closer look to ensure you're happy with it. You're also asked to examine the foundation of what you are building now. Does it feel solid and stable? Now is the perfect time to focus on stability and security, ensuring you move forward in a grounded way. The goddess Gaia reminds you that the earth is the playground for conscious manifestation, so be respectful of this truth. I just love how these cards mirror the things that we're talking about. I love it. Thank you, Deb Johnson, for asking for our card for the consciousness of the day. I love it. Okay. So I think unless there's another question going on back here, the outer world rather, which happens to be a lot of politics. Yeah. Politics are so tricky. And you're right. Whoever said that earlier, and the comments passed by now, that they do serve to divide us. But guess what? That's what we're learning about. We're learning about what divides us. We're learning about that because we have allowed it to go on unconsciously for millennium. And now it's coming to this crescendo, to this point where we can no longer ignore this division. And politics just happens to be the vehicle through which, you know, the drama is playing out here. And so we have to talk about that. We have to. Not that we have to talk about what divides us, but we have to talk about what the common things are that bring us together. Right now, what really does bring us together is we all want to get done with this virus. We are all ready to be done with it. I get that. But we have to be able to roll out of it safely and in a way that makes sense. And different states are at different places in their experience of the virus right now. So that, you know, without a national policy for all of us, at least in this country, and I don't know about other countries, they seem to be a little more coherent. We don't have a coherent policy. And that should be this big red flag for a weakness that we can use as a way to build a new foundation, right? That as, you know, we come out of this, that we make sure that we're protected against something like this going on in the future, because there will be other viruses. We live on a planet that happens. So, you know, the politics and division has not served us well here. And hiding our heads in the sand has not served us well here. But now we have this opportunity to look at that and go, okay, so next time we're going to be ready, right? We're going to make sure that everything we need out there for healthcare is there. We're going to make sure that the money is there for people. I think if anything, this has shown the glaring differences between the people that have and the people that don't have. And that disparity in how the virus hit people, you know, that didn't have healthcare or good healthcare, and how close to an edge that almost every human being on this planet is financially, economically. So we have a lot of things that we can learn out of this if we choose to, or we can just cover it up and pretend it didn't happen. And that's the old way. That's the way that we've done things before. We have a real good opportunity to really look at this deeply, even looking at the divisions and looking at what it is that, because when you step back and you look back in, everybody wants the same thing. They just want to go about it in a different way. So we got to find the common ground and then begin to work from the common ground. That's what our leadership in this country isn't seemingly able to do for us right now. So I don't know what that answer is, except for us to work on it within ourselves equally right now and hope that as we move that energy outward, that it begins to show up in our leaders and in that outer world. So again, I cannot control what anybody else is out there doing or saying, but I can control me and my responses, etc., my emotional feeling about it, and change the way that I look at this in my life. Illyria, good morning. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever. It's so good to see you. Did you say you could look at our HD charts? I can. I can look at HD charts here. I can look at astrology charts. I can look at Gene Keys charts. We can do all kinds of things. So if you have a question about your chart, why don't you email that to me? I'm going to type it in right now, my email address. And living-astrology.com. And then we can take a look at that tomorrow because we're already close to 9 o'clock here. So there you go. That's my email address. Alisa, thank you. Have a good day. You too, my dear. Debbie, thank you very much. And all of you, thank you for the things that you say, for the things you bring up, for the triggers you are for all of us. I love that. And it's, if we can deal with it on this community level, in this little, you know, community that we have, then I have hope that we can deal with that in bigger ways, in bigger communities, as we spread that kind of loving connection to one another outward to the world. So I'm inspired and I'm pleased that we have this community to support one another in doing this. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow, Wednesday, April 15th. Tax day, that isn't going to happen here. This is good. In the meantime, everybody take care. Go enjoy the sunshine. Go do what you do with love and joy. Bye for now.